How's everybody? Great. I know it's a little taboo that I have my laptop up here, but we will be all right. I just got back from Zimbabwe. It was an amazing time. Like, God definitely exceeded all of our expectations. We recently had 3 Zimbabwean pastors ordained. Yeah, so God is doing great. Yeah, give God some praise. As well as they're also starting a new church plant in a place called Bulawayo. So the work is expanding and it's growing. And just thank God for your prayers. Your prayers has definitely been carried me, and I'm sure carried the team there in Zimbabwe and Pastor Ronaldo, the Tamathis. So it's been great. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all ready? Okay. I hope you are, because I'm not. No, I'm kidding. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you today. Just for your loving kindness, which is better than life. Father, fill us with your precious spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to speak about living in a place of rest. Living in a place of rest. I know a lot of times we often come from a place of isolation. Like, we like to isolate ourselves, hide in our houses. I'm kind of speaking to the choir here, but there's some online, they probably could be here. But there's also times where we like to take all the pains from the past and all the worries from the future, right? And then that makes up me. That becomes me. That's my natural disposition. And sometimes we live in the events that happened in the past, right? The times that we sinned, and we can carry that burden. And it can be like a swollen mass, like it can be something that devours us, something that actually eats away at our emotions, right? We can live this way. We can live this way. But Christ, he wants to give us rest. He wants to give us rest. That's actually one of the promises that he gave us, that he gives us. So if we all can turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 9. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And this rest, this peace, this tranquility in our lives, God wants to give us this. He wants this to be our possession. He wants us to walk and live according to this rest. And that was a man, and we all know him, obviously, because we're highly trained in the Bible, but Paul. There was times where he had this inward conflict in his soul, right? It says in Romans chapter 7, he said, I, 31 times, like this personal pronoun, he said, I. He was just looking at his self, right? And when he started looking at himself, there started to be a lack of rest. There started to be a lack of rest. Actually, let's turn there. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. I'm sorry, starting at verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. And it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will, and the will that he's talking about is his attitude. He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Like Paul said, I had the will, right? I had the attitude to do good, but how to perform it, how to accomplish it, I have no clue. What Paul is really saying, he's saying, I have no rest. I have no rest. And let's go down to verse 24. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And Paul is actually painting us a picture. Back in his day, if you murdered a person, what they would do is actually put the body that you, the victim around you. They'll strap the body around you. And what that would begin to do, as that dead body would begin to decay, it would begin to eat into the flesh of the murderer, right? And then the rot and the stench, and then eventually it will kill the murderer. And this is what Paul is describing his sin. He's saying that sin is like a dead body being wrapped around me and eating up my life. It's destroying me. But this is the beautiful part, and this is how Christ gives us rest. And the next verse, it says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So basically, it's like Christ taking his dead body that's decomposing, that's causing us unrest in our lives, and he placed it upon himself at the cross. You see, Christ has taken this sin and death, this body and sin and death that Paul is describing, and he placed it upon himself. He places it upon himself. How can we enter into this rest? How can we enter into this rest? It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that we believe, right? We believe, and then we enter into this rest. We receive God's word, and we can experience his rest. We meditate, we dwell on it. We rotate and muse on it in our minds. We think about verses like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Where we say, like, God has given us all spiritual blessings in who? In Christ, right? I love that word, in Christ. Like, we have a lot of theological words that sound nice that actually describes the believer. Like, we have expiation, redemption, you know, propitiation. Like, we have these great theological words, and they hold dear to us. But one of the simplest terms that Paul used and that God seemed to use over and over again throughout the scriptures is that we're in Christ. We're in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're seated in heavenly places. Where? In Christ, right? We're in Christ. And this is how we find our rest. We don't find our rest in the things that we possess. We don't find our rest in, you know, confrontation and contention. I was I was driving through North Avenue, and as I was driving, I seen two women, like, they were just going at it. I mean, they were just swinging at each other. Fists was flying everywhere. And I said, wow, like, they have no rest, you know? It was no rest. You know, but in reality, in their mindset, it's like, okay, I'm actually trying to find rest here. You know, once I take care of this situation, then I'll have rest. Like, this has been bothering me, then I'll have rest. But it's different in the economy of grace, amen? Because in the economy of grace, it's saying that in Christ, we have our rest, right? It says in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, that in God's presence is the fullness of joy. You see, in Christ, we find our rest. Amen. Dear Lord, just thank you today that we have rest in you. Lord, bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow, that's looks like it might do somebody good to go to Zimbabwe as a missionary. Wow, that's so good. Okay, praise. I'd like to share a little bit about praise and prayer. Turn to Psalm 148, please. Praise and prayer. Actually, turn as a little preface to Proverbs chapter 4. How many, any of you know of a prodigal son that has gone off? Prodigal son or daughter that has gone off? Do you know of that? Has it happened maybe in your life, maybe not a relative, but somebody that once was doing really well and then moved off, like Proverbs chapter 4. Look at Proverbs 4 with me. We have verse 1. Hear, O children, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. So down through to verse 13, you see the father speaking to the son or the daughter and saying, wisdom and understanding, forget it not. And this is what the Holy Spirit does for you and I, is he teaches us and leads us in the way of thinking and wisdom with application. Exalt her, wisdom, look at verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. This is so precious. Exalt her, wisdom, and she shall promote you. So the first set of verses is the importance of this embracing wisdom, God's mind. So we sit and listen. Highest form of worship is listening to God's word. And I praise God that we have learned this, and it gets brighter and brighter, better and better. We see that in chapter 4 and verse 18. Path of the just is the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Okay. We'll go to chapter 4, verse 14. Here comes the prodigal son, and this is what he does. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. But this happens. An evil man is sent, an evil woman is sent, and the believer has a connection with the evil man or the evil woman. And they have a lot of energy, they have a spirit, and you may not discern it, but actually it is a strategy of the devil. One of the best ways for the devil is to attack the believer is through another human being. Not attacking them confrontationally, but seducing them or drawing them in with their way of thinking. You might say, but Pastor, you know, we all can think many ways. Yes, but this isn't what I'm saying. We are people that have the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. And we think a certain way in the mind of Christ. And when the Bible speaks to me personally, it becomes rock solid in my heart, in my mind. This is what I believe. No, not everybody believes it the way I do, and I disagree with them. I disagree. I don't agree. I don't argue. I just live a different way. I evangelize and I pray for people that are different or think differently. I am not perfect, but this chapter is about a spirit, the spirit of wisdom and the mind of wisdom, and another spirit, another mind, another direction, and another purpose. And these people are in the world. They are part of our life. They live with us. They work with us. They are part of life. They are on the TV. They are everywhere in the world. They are these people. And they are called, here in the scripture, they're called evil. You got to get used to this. You need to digest this and think about it. Because sometimes people say, we are in a world where tolerance is the key word. And when you say somebody's wrong, They don't like it. You are bigoted, you are narrow-minded, you are religious, you are old-fashioned, and so on. But you have to go beyond those words and understand that there is a huge difference between wisdom, God's mind, and the mind of men by nature or by demonic influence. And this is what happens to the prodigals. They walk in wisdom, they learn it, they grow in it, and then in their loneliness, their weakness, their confusion, their distraction, their not paying attention. Because look at the words here. It says, look at the verbs. Get, verse 5. Get wisdom. Verse 6. Forsake her not. Verse 8. Exalt her. What will she give you? Verse 9. An ornament of grace. A crown of glory. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right path. You see, one of the fundamental messages of the Christian life is that Jesus was hated in John 15, verse 16. He was hated. You might say, well, yeah, I know he was hated, but this is a world of love, and we get along with each other, and so on. I know what you are saying, and I hear you, and I understand, but you got to go a little beyond what the common philosophy or way of people, the way people are in our culture. Yes, you know, don't say anything to offend anybody. Don't disagree with anybody. Be careful not to be judgmental. And it's correct. We are not to be judgmental. But there is to be a distinction between God's mind, God's ways, the Spirit of God, and the ways of men. There just has to be. For if the world hated me, it will hate you. That's tough. The world will hate you. And if you can see it in a spiritual way, there is an actual world, a actual presence of a lie in this world that contradicts Christ. And so this is where the seduction comes. And this is where the believer is making a way in his mindset, and he just doesn't want to be recognized as being distinct or different. He doesn't want to draw fire. He doesn't want to get into any argument. He doesn't want to be seen to be different. He wants to just get along. And that is, we all want that. But then there is the issue that has deeper significance, and that is, in my own heart, the truth sets me free. And the ways of men do not set me free. The ways of the world, the ways of religion, the ways of self-righteousness, the ways of being judgmental, the way of worldly thinking without Christ. There's no freedom there. There is just simply interaction. And then there is simply no joy. There is no praise. There's no conviction. So the prodigal son is just kind of getting along with his group here. And do you have any joy? No, he doesn't have the joy. Where is your joy? Where is the praise? Where is the prayer? Where is the discernment? Where is the recognition of truth? Where is that statement by Jesus, you shall know the truth and it will set you free, and you will be free indeed? You can't live in adultery and live in adultery and just say, you know, I'm a believer and I live in adultery. It contradicts. It's evil. It's not freedom. It's the world. It's not God. I can't be dishonest in my dealings with people and just say, this is the way the world is. This is how it is today. There has to be something much more. And this is what this is saying. I want you to look at it, chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. She may get you. She, meaning from the proverb, from Ecclesiastes, regarding the temptation and this seduction, but it's not only sensual, it can be social, intellectual, religious, many forms that evil is in this world. We usually say money, sex, and what's the other one? Religion, yeah. Religion, money, and sex. These are the three powerful tools of the natural man. Religion, crucified Christ. Love of money, the root of all evil. And sex, causing so much heartache in this world. And these are powerful elements that nobody in this room could ever handle without wisdom. The Holy Spirit giving us wisdom. Now look at verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by, turn from it, pass away. When you feel it, when you sense it, hang up the phone, walk away, don't have anything to do with it, turn away. Well, how am I going to reach the unbeliever? Don't worry about that. God will reach the unbeliever. But maybe you're not the person. Guys, you are being seduced. Yeah, you will end up in a bar room. You will end up drunk on the street. You will end up floating in the river, or you will end up in some other trouble. I met a man from another country in Europe. He paid a prostitute $10,000. He fell in love with a prostitute. And in tears, he's telling me the story. And he's not saved. And he said, my wife found out about it, and I'm losing my wife. Wow, what a crazy world to live in. Falling in love with a woman, not your wife, and getting into this whole mess. Well, avoid it. Look at verse 15. Pass from it, pass away. For these evil people sleep not except they have done mischief. Usually it's the other way around. If you've done mischief, you can't sleep. But these people, they can't sleep until they have thought mischief. They are thinking mischief. That's how they go to sleep. That's verse 16. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Huh. Not nice people. They will find the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter or whoever. They will find them. You say, prove it to me. Okay, the end of chapter 6. It says, where is it? She's seeking. Yes, 26. 6:26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. If you have a precious life, somebody's going to hunt for you. They're hunting for you. Isn't that amazing? I believe the devil cares more about us than he does the unbeliever who's already in his kingdom. But when you get serious with God, like Christ was serious with God, the devil went after Christ. And the woman is hunting, or man, adulteress can be a metaphor for somebody who has the power to seduce. And a businessman may hunt you down to find you, will hunt. This is a dynamic spiritual world. It's funny, I didn't intend to speak about these things, but here we are. Kind of sobering. I wanted to speak about joy. And this was the prelude, but it's getting heavy. Okay, go to chapter 4, verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as the shining light and shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They stumble in the party or the business contract. The whole thing looks amazing, but there's something not right there. There's something not right in that thing. There's something that I should avoid. There's something not right there. I don't know. I'm just saying, because I've been thinking a lot about fellowshipping with God. Remember 1 John chapter 1, fellowshipping with God and God giving us his mind. And I'm trying to say that if we have his mind, it will make a difference in regards to who my friends are, where I go, what I look at, who I'm talking to, what I'm thinking about, what is important to me. Now let's finish up. Our mission is worldwide missions. Our mission is world evangelism. Our mission that God raised us up through 50 years of ministry is to have something to do with touching the lives of people in different parts of the world, and not everywhere. It would be great, but no, we don't have that. We want to go everywhere, but this is not the point. The point is God puts you. He puts you in Ghana. He puts you in another city. He puts you in Santiago, in Rosario. He puts you in Budapest or in Helsinki or Izmir, Turkey or Istanbul. He puts you. We are not everywhere, but we don't need it. We just want God to individually call and put us where he wants us to be. And the Spirit of God has anointed us. And this is our mission. And when people meet us, we have actually a message. And that message is the difference between a person walking on for decades and shining brighter and brighter as the perfect day is coming, versus being, after 1 year of being a believer, they don't have anything going on, so they just simply are part of the world and there's no testimony. There's no joy, no power, no message. There's no unction. There's no prayer. There's no moving mountains. There's no believing, really. It's just the same. You know, I'm a Christian, and they take and have a party just like everybody else. There is really, if you have a discussion with them, Jesus, yes, I believe in Jesus. What can you tell me about Jesus? Very little. I can tell you very little about Jesus because I don't go to church. Well, why don't you go to church? Because, you know, I just don't have any interest in it. Well, this is different from what we have found. When the Holy Spirit is in our life, we are hungry and thirsty for the deep things. We want to know God and his nature. We want to enter into his courts with praise. His courts with praise and gates with thanksgiving. We want to find the joy that is in his presence in Psalm 16 and verse 11. We want to know what's at his right hand, our pleasures forevermore. I have a message, seven things that are on the earth that are not in heaven, and 14 things that are in heaven that are not on the earth, from the book of Revelation. If you count them, you can do it before you hear the message in 21, chapters 20 and 21. Seven things that are here on the earth that will not be there, and 14 things that are there that are not here. And now what do you have? We have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. We have the words of Jesus, the mind of Jesus. And whenever we get moving in that direction, you can be sure that there's a temptation to be with some person. They're usually very smart, sharp, happy, stylish, cool, groovy. I mean, you know, they are... okay, is that an old word? Probably. They are fashionable. They are capable. Great personalities and so on. And what? It's just we have fun when we are together. Well, we have a different kind of fun. We have kind of a seriousness that results in joy. We have a godliness that is the source of our emotional stability. We have a holiness that we enjoy. The presence of God is here. And this is what feeds us and fuels us in our life of deeper life. This is Christ in the midst of his people. And today I was just feeling a spirit of joy and thanksgiving. And sometimes for messages, I just pray. We pray, God, give me the right mood and the right message for us as we gather together in your name. Because this is our life. We gather in your name. We are interested in your things. We are on a mission for world missions. And someone like James Bryson goes over there from the streets of Baltimore, even from the prison where he was when he got saved. An amazing man of God. And I don't want us to know you that way, but I just said it, you know, on the internet and everything. But I, you know, it doesn't matter. The thing is, a young man, and any one of us, and this to be able to see these things and sense it in our spirit and say in our heart, yes, Lord, it gets better and better. It does. It gets better and better, shines brighter and brighter. And surely there's something, somebody hunting the precious life and wants to bring me to something. It says a piece of bread, a morsel of bread, and take me to, well, it might be fun in the first night or first week or first month, but then I lie down in sorrow in Isaiah 50 and verse 11. No, the light of our own fire isn't good enough. It sparks. Sparks are not good fire. But God's Holy Spirit is the light. We are anointed with that light. We are called by God into a fellowship which is a mystery. And in that fellowship, we see good things and true things and a lot of love for the unbeliever. These people that are doing their thing, some may not listen to us, but some are getting sick and tired of the mischief and the trouble and the demons that are using them and active. And they say, not me, I could never be a believer. Yes, you. God is loving you. Come to God. Yes, you. Come to God. Not me. I mean, they don't know this, but the demons oppress me. I am blinded. I have a heavy heart. I am guilty of doing many bad things. I am unable, and so on. It is no good for me to be part of that company apart from the fact that you and I have a message for them, that Christ is the answer to change their life, to liberate them and set them free, that the Holy Spirit can do a work on an evil man and bring him to the end and bring him to conviction. And the prodigal son, the unbeliever becomes a believer. The prodigal son say, I'm sick and tired of all this stuff. I need to find God again. I know the joyful sound, and I want to sing songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And the Lord will deal with me abundantly, for he will surround me with the righteous. In Psalm 119, surround me with the righteous. Now, convention is coming. We are so encouraged by it. But I don't like it when anybody says anything negative about the church out of pride, out of criticism. I don't like it when people hang out smoking cigars and drinking and do whatever it is that they're doing, is just hammering the church and being negative about it in the leadership and so on. No, that cannot be. That is not of God. That is not God's mind. We are not much. And sometimes we are boasting all the day long in the Lord. And that is in the Psalms, by the way. Boast in the Lord all the time. And we kind of boast in the good things. But if you go a little bit behind our words, you would know that we don't think much of ourselves at all by the grace of God. We are not doing anything. We are sowing and watering, but it's God that gives the increase. And if he gives the increase, why not talk about it? If he blesses us some way, why not recognize it and talk about it? That's the Spirit of God. If God is with us, then hallelujah, let's say it and believe it. And other people should be quiet. If they have a different opinion, or at least I don't care about listening to them, because they aren't going anywhere. God has their number, and he just can put the brakes on in their life, and they can go around in the wilderness for 40 years until they're sick and tired of the sand. And then God will say, you ready? We'll go into the promised land if you are ready. But put off the old man and put on the new man, and rejoice in me, and learn wisdom, and have conviction, and be persuaded, and be discerning, and be wise. And instead of you becoming a prodigal son, you are wise in God, and you bring the prodigal son to a place that we would call home, and say, this is the place that God is resting. God has given us a place of rest. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Proud people attack the church. The church isn't perfect. But actually in Christ it is. We're just people, but actually we've been bought by the blood of Christ. We're not perfect in every way. We lack wisdom sometimes, lack faith, and lack love. But we don't need the accusations of the devil to change us. We need the edification of God and the forgiveness of God, in the presence of God, to lead us into shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. God is with us as an assembly, and we are in more than 70 countries and many places, and we're weak, but we're anointed. We are weak, but we are wise and discerning. Some of our people have fallen to the wayside, and we are pastors, and we care about them, and we look for them, and would like them to be restored. But some don't want to come, because they have fallen into another way, another mind, another spirit, another way of thinking, another road that they follow. And what is the end of that way is the big question. How much trouble do we get into like the prodigal son did? And whatever happened to Demas, who loved this present world, and Lot's wife, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Just as if it was a powerful message, he said, remember Lot's wife. As she didn't really have it. She didn't really want to leave. She was all part of it because there was something strange there, different spirit, different mind. But this convention is a fellowship in holiness, in truth, and in wisdom, in conviction and persuasion, and bring people home, bring people to edification, but not a social connection, but a spiritual relationship. Not like socially eating together and drinking together and talking about this and that and social media and so on. But all those things, that is what that is. But we are talking about Christ, life of Christ, love of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, Lord. And through the summer, may it be a summer of discernment. Discerning, pass away from that thing. Maybe just not engage in that thing. That thing is poison to me. That is not the way. Pass from it. Be so wise this summer and discerning, spirit-filled and edifying, and we will have praise and joy. Oh, so much of it. It'll fill our hearts. Praise and joy will fill our hearts all through the summer in holiness, praise and joy, finding the way, finding the way. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus, please come to Jesus. We say it with all our hearts tonight. Please come, all of us here in the room. Please come to Jesus tonight. Believe in him. Don't say, oh, maybe, or if I, maybe, or I believe in God, and so on. Jesus said, you believe in God, do not fear. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in me, personally. Anyone doing that, please tell your neighbor. Anybody doing that, please turn to the person right or left to you. Anybody doing that, get a booklet from the usher. Anybody doing that, don't leave this place without a Bible. We'll give you a Bible free of charge. Anybody doing that, just say, I'm doing that. I believe in Jesus, and this is your birthday tonight. This is your birthday in Jesus' name. Amen.